You're with SBS Radio.
Toward the end of March, the Victorian government announced a new inquiry into IVF providers, looking to uncover sort of dangerous and unethical methods, practices that may be used. What is your opinion on the necessity of such an inquiry?
Well, we certainly support any move that makes the IVF industry even more safe for patients, and we'd certainly welcome any advice that can improve our already strong focus on patient needs.
Some issues that did trigger this inquiry included knowingly transferring unviable embryos into patients, wrong hormone dosages, equipment failure that wasn't disclosed, it was then blamed on the embryos themselves. Do you believe that such tactics are commonplace within IVF providers?
Look, I hope not, and I think not. So obviously that was the job of the inquiry, to come up with issues that may arise in the industry. I think at Monash IVF, certainly I can only speak for my company, we believe that open disclosure to patients is always the first principle. And we certainly are the last ones to claim that we ever make a mistake. But when a mistake has been made, we've always held to that very strong principle of disclosing that to the patient, making sure they understand an unintended mistake has been made, an error has occurred, for instance, in the lab, and try and work through the process how we can, find a way forward.
So when it comes to all the statistics surrounding successes, and you mentioned that Monash IVF will disclose to patients if you've made a mistake or if, you know, whatever has happened along the way, that patients and the public will have a right to know, is that a law that IVF clinics have to disclose and have full transparency, or is it up to them? Is it their own discretion to do so?
Well, the rule around open disclosure is a general principle in medicine. That's not just one for the IVF industry. It's a recommendation that whenever an error occurs during surgery or even an unintended complication happens, that there is open disclosure about that. That is well known to be always the best path forward. So that is a general principle that shouldn't just apply to the IVF industry. Around success rates and announcing the likelihood of success and the prognosis of IVF treatment, there is indeed that is regulated by the ACCC. So if you do advertising around success rates, there is legislation that says what you can and what you can't do, and the ACCC has looked into that in the last couple of years and is now satisfied that the industry is taking the appropriate measures to regulate the industry in making sure that we adhere to those standards.
Is there a standardised way to measure success rates within IVF?
That's a very good question. It's a very tricky one to answer, in the sense that the question is, how are we comparing, for instance, success rates between different units? To give you a simple example, there may well be IVF units that choose, because of their size or because of the range of techniques that they can offer, that they only will accept certain patients, perhaps patients with a very good prognosis, and of course you would expect that the success rates would be quite good. Monash IVF and other large units tend to try and look after all the patients, even the difficult ones, and you would expect that the success rates as an overall figure will suffer accordingly. So finding comparable patient groups so that you can actually compare success rates from one unit to another is not that easy. And that is something that the industry is working on, is trying to come to some form of formula where patients can actually get an understanding of what their success rates are. And I'm Vice President of the Fertility Society of Australia, and within that group we are trying to work out perhaps an online calculator so that patients can, independently from the success rates posted on an IVF unit's website, they can put punch in their personal statistics, because we know that, for instance, maternal age, the age of the woman is a very important predictor. They can punch in a number of variables and get an assessment of what their success rate roughly would be.
Do you think it's fair that IVF providers, not Monash, but in general, that they pick and choose what category women they want to take?
Look, I think it's to some extent perhaps the responsible thing to do. I mean, you can't expect every regional hospital, for instance, to perform very complex surgery. There are, for that reason, tertiary referral centres where the most complex surgery is being carried out. And similarly, I can understand that there are smaller IVF units where the more general IVF techniques are employed. So if that's the reason why patients are being turned away, then I think that's actually good for the patients. If it is, of course, only to make the success rates look good, then you could argue that that's unfair, but I'm not really aware that that is the case.
And in those situations, do you agree that that should then be fully disclosed, what age bracket this IVF is taking, or what people they're looking to help?
Well, the current recommendations that are listed in the FSA's technical bulletin on advertising already does state that if you put success rates on your web page or in any documentation you give to the patient, that those success rates need to clearly specify what patient population it refers to. Is it your general population? Is it just, you know, the younger age group within your patient population? So that patients can say, well, yep, those success rates, they actually apply to me. So that is already very clear as a rule or a guideline.
How can people make an informed decision about where to go? How would you recommend women looking for IVF treatment to go about the process?
Well, I think the VASA website, so that's the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Technology Authority, has fairly good information on that. ACCESS, which is the largest patient support group, also has interesting documentation on their website, mainly around asking the right questions. I think patients need to inform themselves, become educated, try and understand what questions they need to ask their provider or their specialist, and then make up their own mind as to whether, you know, they are having the right treatment by a particular unit.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.